Good morning and welcome. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Excellent. Good morning and Happy New Year. That was what the first instruction I was given for today was to wish you all that Happy New Year. So tip, get that one done. I'm Cliff, I'm leading the first part of our service this morning, and then Martin, our minister, will be coming to preach later on. Most of you will know, and a number of you are here especially because we have the joy of a couple of baptisms this morning. It's great to have two young men who are taking this public step to declare their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A bit later we will hear from each of them, Joel and Ewan, we'll hear from them a bit of their story, their testimony as to what has brought them to this position of wanting to make this stand. So we really look forward to that. Going to start with a reading encouraging us to come to God with thanksgiving and praise. We'll move into our first time of sung worship immediately after this reading. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Let's do that now.
Thank you.
That you are so lovely and so worthy, worthy of our praise. And we thank you that you give us the privilege of being able to call you our God, my God. Amen. Before we hear from Joel and Ewan of their testimonies, their stories of faith to this point, just want to give a brief explanation as to what baptism is. Because in baptizing Joel and Ewan this morning, we're not making them Christians. In fact, we cannot make anyone a Christian. Becoming a Christian can only be for an individual, a personal decision in relation to God. We're not making them Christians. We're giving them an opportunity to give a public declaration of that personal step of faith that they have made, where they have come to take Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, and a declaration that they intend to live the rest of their lives in following his teaching and his will. Jesus instructed all those who believe in him to be baptised, in fact, just as Jesus himself was. And Scripture explains that baptism has great symbolism. In Acts 22, Paul is recorded as saying, "Be baptized and wash away your sins." So being baptized, this idea of being plunged or immersed into the water, has the symbolism of cleaning, of washing away sins, those things in our lives that we do which are not in accordance to God's will, God's ways. They are not good things. In coming to God in this way is a symbolism of washing away, repenting and being forgiven for those wrong things, being made spiritually clean. And the other symbolism of baptism is that of burial and resurrection. Romans 6 teaches that we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So there's a picture here of leaving behind, literally dying to and burying, an old way of life, a way of life that is featured by sin and is featured about living in ways that aren't pleasing to God. And the idea of completely burying and leaving that behind, the old way that was very based on pleasing ourselves and moving into a new start, pleasing to God. And that's the resurrection bit. And yes, they will come back up. I have every confidence. And that's this resurrection to a new life desiring to follow Jesus and his teachings. And so we are so pleased this morning that you and Joel have taken that decision. And so I am going to now invite Joel to come forward and to share his... By the flowers. Thank you. Just looking around for the microphone.
Hey, everyone. I wouldn't really say that there was ever one specific defining moment in my faith where I had a crazy encounter with God and decided to be a Christian. But he has shown me so many times his love for me and his faithfulness in my life. So I grew up in this church, going to Sunday club and then youth. So I've always had the head knowledge of who God was and who Jesus claimed to be. But then when I started going to youth events and our summer camps, I started to realize what it meant for me to have a personal relationship with God. But after that, God kind of just got pushed aside. He wasn't out of my life completely, but he just wasn't really a priority for me. I was still going to church every Sunday and going to youth Bible studies and stuff, but I wasn't really making time to spend with God in my own life in amongst the busyness of everything else. So God was great for a Sunday morning or a Thursday evening Bible study, but I didn't really feel like he was doing much the rest of the time. And I definitely wasn't pursuing him with my whole heart. Then after this, I just kind of realized that it wasn't working. If I was going to do it properly, I had to go all in for God and put him at the center of my life. So I had to listen to his voice and trust in the plans that he had for my life. And I really like this passage from Jeremiah. It's chapter 29, starting at 11. It's very famous. You probably know it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And that's verse 11, which is the most famous bit. But I really like verses 12 and 13 as well, which say, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And I don't have it all together. I'm still not amazing at intentionally sitting down and reading my Bible or taking time to pray and spend with God. I still mess up and get things wrong. But God doesn't need perfection. But what he does want is my whole heart.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Joel. A number of the songs that we're singing this morning have been chosen by Joel and Ewan, so I'd like to invite you now to stand and sing one that Joel has chosen, and it's The Heart of Worship.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Great choice of song. It is all about Jesus. On a day like this, there is a focus on the people being baptized, but they would be the first to say today that the real focus is Jesus, and that's what we should bear in mind through all of this. But now, Ewan, your chance.
Hello, I'm Ewan. In case you don't know, I've been attending Bigglesay Baptist Church for nearly 20 years now. I grew up in a Christian household with excellent Christian role models all around me. However, that does not make me a Christian. I was struggling with what to say for a while when it came to my testimony, because quite frankly, how do you sum up 20 years of having a relationship with the creator of the world? How can you explain what it's like living in step with the Almighty? Then I had a bit of a realization. It hasn't been 20 years of that. It was 15 years of being raised in that environment, and then about 4 or 5 years of discovering what that life actually looks like and means for myself. Because that's the key part. I'm not a Christian because my mum is and because my dad is, but because I know Jesus, and I know that what he did up on that cross was the greatest thing that ever happened on this planet. When I think of my journey as a Christian, I think of two key time periods that tested my personal faith in Jesus the most. I think of the pandemic, and I think of my first year at university. These tested my faith the most because it was with the times where going to church on a Sunday wasn't a guarantee, but it was a choice for myself that I had to decide to make. And it was the changes in the choice that I made that is the reason I'm getting baptized today and not 3 years ago. Because during the pandemic, as a family, we'd plopped down in front of the TV on a Sunday. We watched the service on Facebook Live, and quite frankly, that was it when it came to my week as a Christian. I didn't connect with it. I didn't pay attention. I switched off, and I found that being away from friends at church was hard, and it meant that I stopped trying. My relationship with Jesus drifted. I became sad. I spent hours of time in my bedroom just rotting, and I became a version of myself that I wasn't really proud of at the time. If it wasn't for my family and the eventual return to normality, I don't think I'd be where I am today with God. However, when I look back on my first year at uni, it was oddly similar. It was up to me whether I went to church and the Christian Union, and for a while I didn't. I'd sleep in on a Sunday, stay in bed, I'd watch football on a Tuesday evening instead of going to the Christian Union. And I made excuses and became lazy, unmotivated, and forgot who I really was. I went out in the evenings, I enjoyed my time at uni, but when it came to church, I just couldn't make the effort. Except this time it was different, because this time I knew that this was not what I wanted for myself. I spent the last few summers at Dane Hill camps, surrounded by great people and great friends, and growing in my faith. So I knew my life was more positive when it was centered around Jesus. It took a bit of convincing and a bit of effort, but I made the right choice and went back to church and the Christian Union and haven't stopped going since. And while the last year has by no means been easy, it has been rooted in a relationship with Jesus, which meant that all the trials and hardships that I have faced and will continue to face are grounded in one truth. Jesus loves me. He knows his plans for me, and no matter what happens, that will always be true. One verse in the Bible that I keep coming back to is Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And that is true. No matter what happens in your life, a relationship with Jesus Christ offers you hope. It offers rest. So if you are here today and for whatever reason aren't a Christian, I ask you this. What in your life offers this same promise? The promise of true rest, stability, and unconditional love? Because I know Jesus does that for me, and I also know that if you truly get to know him, he will do it for you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ewan. It's always good to be here and listen to people's testimonies. I guess particularly for those of us that have been part of this church for the last 20 years or so, to have seen Ewan and Joel grow up and go out into the world and still decide to make that step and to take Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. So that's a real encouragement to us all. Thank you. One of the songs that Ewan has chosen for this morning is our next song. So please stand to sing Living Hope. Thank you. Another brilliant choice of song, Jesus Christ, our living hope. I'll now draw your attention to the baptistry, Paul, and hand over to Martin.
Come on in. It's reasonably warm, yes. The new heater works, folks. That's really good. Joel, we've got a baptismal card with a verse on here for you. And this is a summary of it because it was two quite long verses. So you need to go home and read it properly later on. But it's Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 from the Message translation. It says, take your everyday ordinary life and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. You'll be changed from the inside out. And I didn't know what you were going to say this morning, but that kind of echoes that. So that's really good. Good to know that God's involved in here somewhere or other. So take that, read it, make that a verse for you. If I give that to Mum or Amy. There we go. That's great. Now, Joel, I've just got three questions to ask you. Joel, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Excellent. Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I do.
Hands up. Joel, having heard your testimony and your affirmation of your faith, it is our absolute delight to baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Joel, I'm just going to read this from Psalm 73. This is the psalmist having been through a bit of a tough time talking about the way God is with him. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you will take me into glory. And Father, thank you for the person you've created in Joel. Thank you for the skills and abilities you've given him. Thank you for the personality and the character that you've set within him. Thank you that reflects your character. And I pray that would be more and more, you make him more like you, Jesus. And we pray for your wisdom in the coming days and years. Give him your wisdom, make him help him to make wise choices and keep him close to you, we pray, Jesus. Mm. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, would you guard his heart? Lord, we thank you for his testimony. We thank you for his realization that he needs to lead with his heart and he needs to place his daily life before you. And we pray that he would remember to do that. And we pray that through doing that, through those everyday, ordinary things that he just offers up to you, he would make a real impact for you. At university, at his place of work when he gets there, and through his life, that people would see by the way Joel conducts himself, by the way he lives his life, that he belongs to you. And Lord, we pray that you would multiply those gifts that you have given him already, that you would fill him afresh from head to toe with your Holy Spirit, that you would anoint him and empower him and encourage him. And Lord, we know that today, this evening, he's got to go back to uni. And we just pray that you would let him know without a doubt that you are there with him, that you go before him, and that you are never going to leave him or abandon him. May he know your presence every step of the way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ewan, your verse is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, I think that quite nicely echoes what you said to us earlier on. And it's just an encouragement and a reminder to you to keep your eyes fixed on the one who never takes his eyes off of you. Yeah. So, Ewan, questions for you. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you turn from sin, renounce evil, and intend to follow Christ?
I do.
And will you seek to live within the fellowship of his church and to serve him in the world?
I will.
Ewan, having heard your testimony and your affirmation of your belief in God, it now gives us great pleasure to baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. With anyone, it was going to happen with him, wasn't
it? Exactly.
Shall we pray?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this young man before us today. We thank you that your hand has been upon him, that he knows your call in his life. Lord, we ask you to anoint him, we ask you to lift him up, this young leader of men.
Yeah.
We thank you for him, Heavenly Father. Bless his ways. Heavenly Father, help him to seek you wherever he goes, wherever he does, that you'll be the forefront of his life, Heavenly Father.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just ask this in your name. Bless his whole existence, yes. Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we just want to affirm that gift that we sensed in him earlier on when he was sharing not just his testimony, but the gospel. And we sense there's a real gift of leadership and of preaching and speaking there. And we ask, Father, that you would confirm that through the power of your Spirit, that you would fill Ewan with an awareness of your call on his life, and that you would enable him to follow you wherever you lead him to go. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and you have one for Ewan. May he find it, may he walk in it, may he make a difference in this world for you as he follows you with his confidence, with his humour, with his ability to communicate. May he know that he is serving you in all that he does. Fill him, we pray, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet with your Spirit. Anoint him and empower him and fill him with your joy, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Turn around.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you for the joy of this morning. Thank you for the joy that we as church family can share with the families of Joel and Ewan, and the encouragement that it is to see young people make such a positive stand for you. And Lord, do thank you for your faithfulness within those families and within this church over the years. Lord, we do pray for those who are going through challenging times at the moment. We pray for those who are ill, those who have been recently bereaved. We ask for your healing and comforting presence to come to them. We'll pause just a moment for you to quietly bring anyone in that situation to God yourselves. And Lord, we thank you that we can be confident that you hear our prayers because you are the living God, the risen Christ, and our living hope. Amen. A few notices to give for the week ahead. Just before I get into the week ahead, one that I would have forgotten if I don't say it now, is that there's someone who has placed an order previously for their Encounter with God Bible study notes, and one person as yet has not received those notes. So if that's you, please see Pam after the service because she has them for you. So yes, the main notice for this week is on the screen. It's our prayer week, a great way to start the year. And so commencing this evening with a time of communion and prayer. So at 6:30 this evening. Tomorrow morning, 7:30 to 8:30, cereal and croissants, but that isn't the headline. The headline is prayer breakfast. For that one, if you can book via Church Suite so that whoever is catering gets the right numbers there. Tuesday the 6th, a lunchtime prayer meeting here for an hour from 12:30. Wednesday the 7th in the evening, from 7 till 8:30, a time of soaking or waiting on God. So perhaps a more reflective and quiet time of prayer. Thursday the 8th, between 3 and 4 p.m., there's a Zoom prayer. I don't think that means you have to be really quick at your prayers, but online, and the code, if you wish to join that, do see Ellen after the service. Friday the 9th, another one to book via Church Suite, please, because it does involve pizza, along with prayer and praise, and that's here from 7:30 till 9. And then next Saturday and Sunday, 24 hours of prayer from 12 noon until the end of the morning service next Sunday. That will include a prayer walk leaving here at 1:30. If you want more details about that to know quite what's expected, then speak to Caitlin afterwards.
Is the prayer walk on the Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday. Yep, good question. But yes, Saturday, 1:30 is the prayer walk. And that takes us through to next Sunday morning. And next Sunday morning is our first small group Sunday of the year, an opportunity to see what groups are being offered for this next term, midweek groups for discipleship type activities, Bible study groups, some discussion groups, some interest groups. So do encourage you to come and to sign up to one of those groups. I'm guessing that the details of all of those groups will be on our church website just ahead of the weekend. Yep, and Church Suite. And again, book up via Church Suite. Thank you. I think that is all the notices. So now we have the movement of our young people going out to Sunday Club. This morning you'll be following Mike out of those doors, not falling in the water going that way. So yes, anyone in Sunday Club, if you'd like to follow Mike now, please. Anyone in the overflow, if you would like to come in here, please. Thank you, gents, for putting the barriers back round. I'll now bring our reading before Martin comes to preach. If I get to the end of the reading before Martin has got dry and changed, we'll have another time of prayer. But the reading, for those that wish to look it up, will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 to 21. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And before Martin comes to speak, we do have two more songs. So please stand for When I Survey.
Please take your seats. What a great way to start the new year. Isn't that fantastic? Such a lovely celebration, and to hear how those two young men have come through this church and have come to their own faith. And just what a great example, and what a great blessing that must be for their families as well, to know that all that effort that they put in. Or was it in spite of your families? We'll go into that later on, don't worry. I do just have a notice that you wouldn't have had while we were out getting dry. And it's just really, it's from Stephen and Sarah Bealey. Those of you who know them will know that their baby was due on, I think it was the 30th of December. Baby has still not arrived. They went into hospital on Friday night for Sarah to be induced. Nothing has happened yet. So they're not stressed or worried or anything, but did ask me just to pass on to you that the baby still hasn't arrived yet. Probably looking at Monday. So please do just pray for them, and that baby will come when baby's ready to come. And that in the meantime, Stephen will be able to manage with all the discomfort and... oh, and so will Sarah, yes. So just keep them in your prayers, please, as you go through the next 24 hours or so. And as soon as we hear something, we'll let you know. Now, looking around the congregation this morning, there's quite a few people here who will own a car. There's quite a few people here who, if you don't own a car, you know how to drive one. And if you own a car or if you drive a car, you know there are loads of lights and symbols that can appear on your dashboard. And like the newer and the posher the car, it seems the more lights that there are. And no matter how much you look through the car handbook, you still can't find out what they mean. All a ploy just to get you back to the garage, I'm sure. But there is one light. There is one light above all that you hope and pray will never appear on your dashboard. That one. The engine management light. Or as I call it, the light of doom. Because when this light comes on, you know there's something wrong with your car. And the instruction, when you do find this symbol in the car manual, is do not drive the car any further. Take it straight to a garage. How am I going to take it to the garage if I can't drive it any further? I still haven't worked that one out. But anyway, you know that there's something wrong. Now, this light came on in my wife's car 2 years ago. Since then, it has undergone several tests, lots of diagnostics, replacement sensors, but the light still comes on. No matter what was done, including disabling one particular sensor so it could get through the MOT. Don't tell anybody we did that. The mechanic did it. Fair enough, yes. So I'll do a Pontius Pilate on that one. And then re-enabling one particular sensor. 2 years this has been going on. 2 years. Until this week. Woo! This week, the problem has been solved. Not by putting a new sensor on, or anything small or cheap or anything like that, but it needed a whole new engine control unit fitted. So I'd like you to up your giving for the next few weeks. But it's fixed the problem. And unfortunately, what we thought was a minor sensor problem was a major control unit problem. And it was only when that control unit was changed that things were sorted. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, why on earth is he talking about all this? Well, if we think about it, and if we're honest, we're a bit like this ourselves, especially at this time of year. There we go, that's the one I want. Bear with me on this. We know there are things wrong in our lives.
There are wrong habits, there are wrong attitudes, behaviours, maybe even relationships, and so on. And so what we decide to do to try and improve ourselves is make New Year's resolutions. And we make a New Year's resolution that will enable us to become a better, fitter, kinder person. My favourite New Year's resolution is to give up chocolate. And I love it so much, I make the same resolution not just every year, but every day. And I was munching on Smarties even as I prepared this talk. The point I'm trying to make here is that making resolutions about our lives is about as effective as mucking about with the sensors on the outside of Ali's car. They tend to address the symptoms of what is wrong whilst missing out on the actual cause of our shortcomings. The symptom for the car was, oh, it seems like there's a dodgy sensor. The cause was the control unit was malfunctioning. And unless we address our own control units, our hearts, the very centre of who we are, and the place where we make all our decisions, then nothing we try to do is going to make any difference in the long term at all. I won't say, please put your hand up if you made a New Year's resolution on the 1st and you've broken it already. But you get the point. The change needs to be with the control unit, with the heart, the very centre of our being. Change needs to come from within. Jesus says this in Matthew 15. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. And in Romans 3, Paul says that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We've all gone wrong somewhere. We've all got an engine warning light somewhere going on, and we can't see it because we don't have our own dashboard. But our hearts operate in such a way that makes each of us misfire, if you like. However, hidden in our hearts, there's an awareness that something's not right. Someone once said there's a God-shaped hole in everyone's heart. There's something in us that says, I know I'm doing this, but I know it's not right. It doesn't bring satisfaction. It doesn't bring peace. Both Joel and Ewan mentioned similar things. But hidden in our hearts, there's an awareness of our true purpose. And our true purpose in life is to know God and to love God and to be known by God and loved by God. To have a relationship. But we have that glitch in our hearts. And that glitch is caused by sin that needs to be fixed. And we can't fix sin just by trying to change our external behaviours and our attitudes. And just as Ali's car couldn't fix itself, we cannot fix this problem with our hearts on our own. We need God to step in to make the difference. And as I'm sure you've picked up already this morning, God does that through Jesus. Jesus, his life and his death and his resurrection move us beyond resolutions to transformations, correcting the glitch, making our hearts whole, realigning them with our Creator so that they and we can function as we were created to do. When you know that God loves you so much that he sent his son to show you that love, that his son not only talked about it, but demonstrated it through dying on the cross. When you know that God loves you that much, that changes you. That changes your heart, it renews your heart, and it changes the way that we live, and it makes us new. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Excuse me. Do you get that? A new creation. Completely new. Doesn't say if anyone is in Christ, they're a patched up creation. To carry on with the car metaphor for a moment, if I may. Sometimes as our cars get older, we do all that we can to keep them running. We patch them up, don't we? And you can see some of them. It's what we call old bangers these days. Driving around. We patch up and we patch up. But actually what the car's eventually going to need, you're going to need something completely new. And you and I need something completely new in our lives, and that is the love of God filling us through the death and the resurrection of Jesus and his promises to us that if we follow him, we will know that new life right here, right now, but also when this life is finished. Paul goes on, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's kind of like, look, can you see it? Can you see the new that's come? Somebody used to be like that. Now they're different. Because Jesus has made a difference. And it goes on. He says that the love of Christ controls us. He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. A new creation, a new way of being controlled. Not by our urges and our desires and our instincts, not by following the things that the world tells us to do, but by these directions from the God who loves us, who knows us, and wants us to know him too. The old has passed away, the new has come. We can say that about Ali's car. The engine control unit, the old has passed away, the new has come. We can say it about Joel's heart and Ewan's heart and about the hearts of many people in this church who know and love Jesus already. The old has passed away, the new has come, because Jesus makes all things new. So I wonder this morning if there's something niggling away in your life. You feeling that something's not quite right and that no matter how hard you try, you just can't get to the bottom of it. You just can't quite sort it out. Or maybe at the beginning of the new year, you've made those resolutions because you want to be a different, better person. What we've heard this morning, what we've sung this morning, what I'm saying now is that if that's happening in your life right now, the answer to it lies in letting Jesus heal your heart so that your control unit is wired up to him. Because of his death and his resurrection, he's shown us that he is the only one qualified to make a lasting difference. And again, it's a difference that begins here and now, but goes on into the next life. And in the next life, he promises us that everything will be renewed, everything will be put right, and nothing will ever go wrong again. And those promises that Jesus makes have been around for hundreds of years before he walked the earth. Go into the Old Testament and the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36. It says, I will give you, what? A new heart. And put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. God even promises it. I'll give you that new heart. And it's already been paid for, unlike our engine control unit. It's already been paid for by what Jesus has done. So God is offering us that gift of a new heart, a new control unit, a new spirit, a new reason to live, a new reason to be, a new reason to hope through Jesus. And Joel and Ewan this morning both shared how Jesus has changed their hearts. And he can do the same for anyone. If you've come this morning knowing something is missing, I believe you're here because God wants you to hear that you can make a new start by letting him heal and change your heart. And all you have to do is hand it over to Jesus and receive his gift of new life. If you're not quite ready to do that yet, we'd love to help you explore it further. Either over a coffee and a chat or a little bit later on in the new year, we're running another Alpha course where we can look at what it means to be a Christian and why it is that we should put our faith in Jesus. We have some little booklets around still. They're here at the front. Feel free to take one of those explaining why we think it's so important. Or if you're ready now, and it might be there's someone here ready now, take that first step. Say, yes, Jesus, I want that new heart. I want what you have to give me. I want to receive that. And I can't wait for an Alpha course to do it. I can't wait even till after lunch today. I want to receive that now, and we're going to give you the opportunity to do that. And there's only two things you need to do that. One is, in a moment, I'm going to put a prayer up on the screen. And just, I'm going to lead us in praying that prayer. And if it's something you want to do for the first time or maybe the 51st time, please join in with a really loud amen at the end. But if it is the first time you've ever done that, at the end of the service, we'll have some people from our prayer team down the front here. And this is the brave thing that you have to do afterwards. I'd like you to come and tell them that you've given your life to Jesus today, that you've asked him to give you a new heart. And they will pray with you and they will help you take that first step on the journey. So here's the prayer. Where's the prayer? Oh dear. Can we go right to the end slides, please, Venice? That's it. Lovely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for the things I have done wrong in my life and for the ways I've tried to change things in my own way. Please forgive me. I turn from everything which I know is wrong, and I thank you that Jesus died and rose again for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. From now on, I choose to give him my heart, to follow and obey him as my Lord and Saviour. I receive your gifts of love, forgiveness and life. Please fill me with them. I give control over to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song that reinforces that. Perhaps you'd like to remain seated for this. If you want to stand up, please do, but there's no compunction to. Before we come towards the end of our service, this one's called Lord, You Have My Heart. It's about offering our hearts to God, which reinforces the prayer that we've just prayed. Standing, please be seated. Just a little bit more to say before we close. And two invitations, really, just to expand on the last one. We're not asking you to join a religion or a cult or anything like that. We're inviting you to enter into a relationship with the living God. Both Ewan and Joel spoke about that, having that relationship with God at a personal level, not living off your parents' faith, not living off somebody else's faith. And it's not just about coming to church on Sunday, it's about living our whole lives, being ambassadors for Christ, as the passage earlier on said, living lives for Jesus. That's actually the most fulfilling and satisfying way anyone can live their life. So just wanted to emphasize that. But then if you've already made that decision, if you've already given your heart to Jesus, one of the things he says is that if you love me, you will obey my commands, you will follow my teaching, you will do what I say. And one of the things that he tells everyone who follows him to do is to do what Joel and Ewan did this morning, to get baptised to demonstrate that faith and that belief in Jesus. So if you're here this morning, you're a Christian, you've never got baptised, maybe God's saying to you, now is the time. Now is the time. And if you're a regular here, what you need to do, if God is saying that to you, is come and talk to me, and we can sort out when and how and what we're going to do about that. If you're visiting from another church to support the guys this morning, go back to your other church and say to your minister, your pastor, your leader, I think it's time that I got baptized to show people that I'm a follower of Jesus. Just like the Ethiopian eunuch, traveling on his chariot, he met up with Philip. Philip explained the good news of Jesus to him. And then the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized right now? And he was baptized almost as soon as he made his commitment. We don't quite do it that way here anymore. But if God has spoken to you this morning about it, don't go away without doing something about it or without deciding what you're going to do about it in response to God's call on your life. As I'm sure the lads will tell you, it's well worth doing. And not just because it means you can get other people wet at the same time, eh? We're going to close. I can't remember which one of the two chose this last song. It's a song about the resurrection. It's a song about the day that Jesus rose from the dead. But it's also a song that you could say is the greatest day in your history, your life, the day when you put your faith in Jesus. Just to know that particular moment in time. Oh, happy day. What a great way to finish a service of celebration and rejoicing. And don't forget, there's teas and coffees available afterwards. Probably safer if we go outside and through the white doors into the church hall, unless you're very good with your balance. If you've got little ones, maybe don't let them get too close to the water. But teas and coffees available afterwards. We'd love to stay and chat with you for a while. But let's celebrate the greatest day in history. Oh, happy day.
Now, we are a Baptist church, so we're allowed to enjoy ourselves, okay? So you can clap, even boogie a bit, Helen. You can go boogie if you want, okay? It's only a new one, it's 20 years old, okay?
Oh,
first of so many happy days. Days when we come into contact with you, when we give our lives to you, when you pour your love into us. And we thank you for this happy day today, as we've celebrated with Joel and with you, and as we've celebrated together and heard your word. Lord, may it be a happy day for someone today, for the first time, that they put their faith and trust in you. And Lord, whatever's going on in our lives, as we go from this place back into our daily routine, may we go knowing that we are loved by you. May we go knowing that you want us to know that love, and that you offer us that love as a gift in Jesus. And all we have to do is say yes and allow you to direct the rest of our lives. So may we go with joy, with hope, with peace, celebrating God's goodness, knowing God's love in our lives this week. And may his blessing fall upon us, fill us and flow out from us. And may we be a blessing to others because we have been blessed today. And all the people said, Amen. Amen.